Deuteronomy chapter number 30, the Bible says in verse number 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." And notice in verse number 19, again, it gives us this challenge at the end of the verse there, "Therefore choose life." And that's what I want to preach on today, that title, "Choose Life." Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message today? Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll do the work that only you can do. I pray for those in here that can look back and know of a time and place where they accepted Christ as their Savior. They know that they've been born again. They know that they're saved. And they know they're going to heaven one day. But Lord, I pray that today they'll choose that abundant Christian life, that life that here on earth can be blessed by only you. And then, Lord, I pray for those in here that maybe looking back in their life, they don't know of a time and place where they ever realized they were lost and on their way to hell. But they trusted Jesus Christ that he paid their sin debt on the cross of Calvary, and they called upon him to save them. Lord, if there's someone in here like that today, a teenager, an adult that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray for Holy Ghost conviction, and I pray that they'll choose eternal life in heaven today by being saved. And Lord, we'll ask you to bless, and we'll look forward to the work that you'll do and the results of the invitation today. And we'll ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated if you'll keep your Bible open there. The setting of our text in the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses is about to die. He died at 120 years old. He has led the children of Israel now for 40 years. And Moses is just about to enter into heaven. Joshua is about to take the lead. Doesn't that sound like nerve-wracking when you think about my son Joshua taking the lead? But Joshua there in the Bible is about to take the lead, and he's going to lead Israel into the promised land. Now, the book of Deuteronomy, as we read it there, has been referred to as Moses' farewell letter to Israel. He does a lot of review with Israel of their history, and then he helps them to look forward to their future. If you know your Bible, you know the last 40 years for Israel has been wasted years because of their disobedience and because of their lack of faith. And so Moses had led them out of Egypt 40 years prior. And now for 40 years, they've just wandered in the wilderness. But the time has come now. The older generation has passed off of the scene. Those younger ones have grown up now and in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. And God tells them it's time now to go into the promised land. The opportunity arises. Look at chapter 30 and verse number 20 again. The last part of verse number 20 there says that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. All right, so the Israel here, as they're getting ready to go in the promised land, they could have gone as children. They could have gone 40 years prior, but their parents would not have enough faith to step into the promised land and to conquer the giants. But now this new generation, it's their opportunity to enter the promised land. Now let me say this, because this is pivotal to the entire message today. The promised land in the Bible is a picture of the promised life for every Christian here on earth. The promised land, I know we sing the song, I'm bound for the promised land. And thank God there is a land that is promised to us. And thank God there is a heaven to gain as much as there is a hell to shun. But when we see the picture drawn by the children of Israel going to that land flowing with milk and honey, well, in that land, they were still sinners. In that land, they could still be disobedient to God and lose His blessings. In that land, there were still enemies that they had to conquer. But praise God, there's a land that we're going to one day, and we're going to have a new body, and it's not going to be this old sinful flesh, and the devil's not going to be in that land, and the enemies of the cause of Christ are not going to be in that land. In fact, the Bible says that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And friend, that land is a land of rest. And I hope you can say that the next time He comes, He's coming for me. And if not, I promise you, friend, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today and know that heaven is your future home. So the promised land in the Bible is a picture of the promised life for us as Christians here on earth. It's not a picture of eternal life, but rather it is a picture of a Christ-centered, God-honoring, God-blessed life for you and I here on earth. The Bible tells us in John 1, and verse number 4, in Him was life. In Christ was life. And so God gave us new life in Christ the day that we were born again. If I ask you today to stand up and give a testimony of your salvation, many in here would say, well, I was saved just a few months ago. Or you'd say, I was saved a few years ago. Or you'd say that I was saved as a young child. And but you have to have a testimony of your salvation. You need to know that there was a place in your life, not where God saved you from a tragic situation, not where He brought you up from a surgery or saved your life out of a car wreck. Thank God that He did that. But there needs to be a day and time in your life where you realize, oh no, oh God, if I die right now, I'm going to split hell wide open. I must be saved. I need to be born again. And the Bible says you call upon the Lord to save you, and He will. So in Him was life. Certainly, God gave us new life in Christ the day that we were born again. But now He wants to bless our newfound life in Christ as we live in obedience to Him. I don't know how many years you have. I'm 47. I'll be 48 in a couple of months. I don't know how many years you have left here on earth. I don't know how many years I have left here on earth. But I know this. As long as I'm here, I choose life. I choose the hand of God. I choose the blessings of God. So So the Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. That's the old devil. And what he wants to do today is, as I plant the seed of the gospel in your heart, if you're lost, he wants to distract you. He wants you to think of anything other than the fact that you're going to live eternally somewhere. And the devil's going to try to steal that seed out of your heart. If you're a born-again Christian in here, what the devil's going to try to do is he's going to try to steal the seed that's planted where God says, I want to bless your life, but you've got to live in obedience to me. The devil wants you to go out and live the way you want to live and do what you want to do and follow your path and follow your plans. Why? Because his goal is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yet the rest of that verse says, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So thank God when we're saved, we can say, I know that I have life eternally, but right here on earth, you know what? I want life abundantly. I don't want to just survive the Christian life. I don't want to just wake up every day and just exist. Remember last Sunday night we talked about pressing. Are you pressing toward a mark in your life? Do you have any goals? Or are you just existing and waiting for the next battle to come? I want that abundant Christian life. If you're in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm going to jump around some, but you might just stay in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Just as the Old Testament laid out the options for Israel, so the New Testament lays out the exact same options for you and I today. Look at what God said in Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 15. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Okay, so we're talking about two different sides here. Which one would you choose? Life and good or death and evil? You know, the New Testament gives us the same options. First of all, it's salvation. You choose to be saved or you choose to reject Christ. You are choosing either life or you are choosing death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you choose that on the day of salvation. But may I say to us, as Christians, we choose life or death also. Because if we obey God, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. But if we deny the word of God, choose our own path, live our own way as Christians, the Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And so that says that a Christian, even though eternally we're secure and safe in Christ, we're going to heaven, that means that you can either die early, it means you can have death to your marriage, death to the relationship of your children. There are all sorts of deaths. When God said, Israel, choose life, he said that your seed may be blessed after you. And friend, if we choose the way of the world and the way of sin, we may survive a little bit, but what's going to happen to our kids? What's going to happen to our grandkids? Life and death. He said, I set before you also, he said, I set before you life and good and death and evil, so we could choose life or death. We could choose good or evil as a child of God. By definition, good means, you know, like this, good stuff. The word good by definition means good stuff. It means advancement of interest. Doesn't that line up with, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous? Then shalt thou have good success? Okay, so he says, child of God, choose good or choose evil. Evil in this passage, by definition, is misfortune. Or if I can simplify it a little bit, bad stuff. Okay, let's think about this for just a moment. Life, abundant life, joyous life, the blessings of God, or I kill everything in my life because of the decisions I'm making. Life or death? Good stuff? Bad stuff? Advancement of interest or a whole lot of misfortunes in my life? He also says in chapter 30 there, look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. We'll be a little bit slow this morning because we have several passages that I want to connect together here. Verse number 19 says this. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. We saw that in verse number 15. But now he adds this. He says, I've set before you life and death. And he says, blessing and cursing. All right, what is blessing by definition? Happiness and joy. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. So happy is a man that gets in the book and studies the book and learns the book and walks in the ways of God. So there is blessing. There is life. There is good, good stuff, advancement of interest. There is the blessing. There are the blessings of God. There is joy. There is happiness. Or we choose this path over here. Now I'm preaching to Christians for a while here. We choose this path over here. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we can illustrate that in the Bible. Yeah. We choose this path over here, which is going to cause evil or misfortune. Or in other words, preacher, how come nothing is going right in my life right now? Could it be because you walked away from God? All right. And then the word cursing. Now, let me give you the definition to that word cursing here in this passage. Listen to this. A dooming to vexation. That word vexation is trouble or misery. Okay, so we have a Y in the road. And I'm talking about a child of God. Okay, so back here I realize that I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I need to be saved. And thank God that there's not a person in here that God would reject. Amen. Not anyone in here that, now I know what those preachers are preaching on stools today, Brother Back. That's kind of comfortable there. You sit on the bar here for a minute. So we have a Y in the road. Young people, are you listening? Young adults, are you listening? You're standing at that Y right now. Some of us who are a little bit older ought to have enough sense to stay on the right path. But you're standing at that Y. Okay? And the Lord's saying, let's go this way. That's left. Let's change this, all right? We don't want to do anything left right now, okay? Left is destroying America. And so, anyways, all right? Let's go right. Is that good, Nicholas? Yeah. Let's go right. We choose the right path. There is life, abundant life, joyous life. There is good stuff. There are good things. There is advancement of interest. God's going to bless my life. There is happiness. There is joy. Or I head down this path and there is death to my relationships, death to my walk with God. Ultimately could be early death in my life. There is misfortune in my life, bad stuff in my life, cursing, trouble, misery. It shouldn't be that hard to decide which way we're going to go. So the opportunity for life and good and blessings is available to every born-again believer. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter number 1 and verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So God says, get in the Bible and let the Bible get in you. Start obeying God and walking on the right path. God will bless your life. The opportunity is there to choose right. But may I say, the opportunity to choose a wrong route is there for us also. Look at Deuteronomy 30 with me, and here's where I've got to flip back and forth quite a bit. So probably best if you just stay in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Let's see what can happen. What can put us on that? Now remember, these are already the people of God. And if you're saved in here, you are already the people of God. So let's see the description here of what can happen to put us on a wrong path. Okay, Deuteronomy 30. And look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them. Look what can happen. Number one is this. We're going to have to move a little slow because I have to, again, a little different type of message, but I have to connect some Old Testament with some New Testament. The first thing he says there, but if thine heart turn away. All right, so number one, what can happen to put us on that wrong road over to the left there? Number one, our hearts can turn away. All right, so you get saved, and you're excited about what God's doing in your life, and your kids are excited about their Sunday school class, and boy, you're happy in the Lord. But if you're not careful, your heart will turn away. The Bible specifically says that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Listen to this warning, Christians. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I don't believe this crowd that gets online and brags about how walking away from God has been such a blessing in their life. Oh, we walked away from that church. I tell you, they had all those rules, all those expectations, and now I can put a dog bone through my nose, man. I got such freedom in Christ. That crowd doesn't impress me. In fact, that ought to break your heart, because according to the Word of God, the latter end is going to be worse for them. Now, we know if they're saved, then they're eternally secure. So the latter end says the rest of their life ain't going to be good if they claim to be saved, but they turn back to the world. He said, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And listen, folks, a church is not going to be your excuse when you stand before God. A preacher is not going to be. I realize there are some sorry preachers out there. I realize there are some sorry churches out there. I realize that people can hurt you. But friend, listen, one day we're all going to stand before the Lord face to face. We cannot let our hearts turned back. The Bible says about Israel, in fact, Stephen was saying it, I believe in Acts chapter 7. I know it in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was saying, given the history of Israel, and he said their hearts turned back before they did. Let me ask you a question. Where's your heart today? I can tell you where some people's hearts are. I mentioned the men's Sunday school class a minute ago. Watch them on Sunday. Watch them on Monday. Okay, can't wait to go to work. Can't wait to go to work. Woo, love it. I know where your heart is. You're not heading in the right direction. Our hearts can turn away. Can I say secondly, he said there, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear. Our ears refuse to hear. You ever gotten to a place where you felt like your kid wasn't listening to you? Where you felt like, man, the relationship's not right now. They're not listening to the word I have to say. You know, that happens in a church setting too, where a pastor can tell by the countenance and by the involvement that he's got people's ear, and then he can tell when that ear just kind of closes. The Bible says more than hearing from your preacher, you need to hear from God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 3:7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I hope today that you're still hearing from heaven. I hope that today God is still working in your heart and in your life, but our hearts can turn away. The Bible says that our ears can refuse to hear. Notice what it also says there in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 17, but if thine heart turn away so that thou will not hear, here it is, but shalt be drawn away. Sometimes our heart, we're in love with the world and the things of the world. Our heart begins to turn away from the things of God. Sometimes our ears refuse to hear. I don't know why I thought about this morning. Maybe it's a message in the future, but it was on my heart this morning. And it was just this thought. It was, God forbid the parent that says no to the will of God for their child's life. You know, the Bible talks about the Old Testament promises made and how a dad can overrule that, override that, and whatever. But there have been a lot of parents over the years. Hey, Dad, God called me to preach. No, he didn't. Hey, Dad, I believe God wants me to be a pastor's wife. I don't know about that. Hey, Dad, I believe God wants me to go to Bible college. Oh, we can't afford that. Man, God forbid. I wish I could take the statistics and show what happens when young people get on fire for God and they have a parent that puts water on it. Listen, all you young people that are in here, if God hasn't called you into ministry, don't go. It needs to be a calling in your life. I'm talking about full-time Christian service. I'm talking about something like what I do. But if God has, I don't care how much money you make and how successful you are, you will never be happy outside of the will of God. Amen. Our hearts can turn away. Our ears refuse to hear. But then it says we also can be drawn away. Well, that lines up with what the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Hey, King David was drawn away. Is there somebody in your life drawing you away? I watch teenagers sometimes, and I don't believe in teenage dating. I don't think you're mature enough for it. I think we parents and grandparents are crazy for some of the things we allow our kids to do. And you kids are crazy if you're lying and hiding things behind your parents' back with some fake social media account or something. You're only going to get yourself in trouble that way. But I hate to see teenagers drawn away by some rebellious kid that's a girl or a boy or a friend or whatever. Hey, don't be drawn away. We can be drawn away by all sorts of stuff today. Our hearts can turn away. Our ears refuse to hear. We can be drawn away. Then it says there, and worship other gods and serve them. Well, we saw that in Matthew chapter 6 on Wednesday night. No man can serve two masters. And it talked about you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. But I tell you what, our hearts can turn away. Our ears refuse to hear. We can be drawn away. Something is enticing us. But we can worship and serve other gods. Can I go back to the not happy to be in church, but happy to be at work on Monday? Can I go back to, you wouldn't miss your job for anything. If they called you right now, you'd get up in the middle preaching and go, because that's money talking. But yet it takes nothing for you to miss church. That's because your God is your job. I'm not talking about not being a hard worker, being faithful. But we can serve other gods if we're not careful. What about the God of sports? Man, those stadiums are jam-packed for a scrimmage. Yet the houses of God are empty. Man, we'll get out of here and we'll go have a big old football watching party. And yet you let soul winning roll around. And people come in and they look half angry because you even asked them to be there. We're worshiping and serving other gods. What about the God of education? And I'm for education. But when you put that ahead of everything else in your life, that thing's become your God. Years ago, we had a Bible college student that graduated, got his bachelor's, and he said, "Preacher, you know, I'm thinking about right now, I'm just going back to Bible college and getting my master's." I said, "What you need to do is get busy in the work of God and maybe get that master's down the road. But right now is not time to go back for 2 more years or 3 more years or whatever. Not in the work of, work of God." Again, I'm not saying don't get an education. I've got a master's degree, but I didn't do it immediately right out of Bible college. What I'm saying to you is God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So see, it's not just standing there going, "All right, I'm going left, I'm going right." It is our hearts are not what they ought to be. So they're starting to turn the wrong direction. We're trying to be corrected from the Word of God, but our ears are refusing to hear. Now we're being drawn away, and now we're worshiping and serving the job, the football team, the basketball team, the college class, the kids. Everything else is becoming more important to us. One of my favorite words in the Christian life is balance. Amen. Balance. Amen. It can't just be all about one thing in your life. So how do we get on that right path? Let me show you quickly. How do we choose life? How do we refuse the wrong path that's just not going to lead to good? How do we choose the path of life, the path of goodness, the path of God's blessings? If you're there still in Deuteronomy 30, look at verse number 15. "See, I've set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." All right, you have a choice to make. Now, we can make that choice, or we can allow our hearts to be turned away. We can stop listening, just like our kids do. As adults, we can get hard-hearted. We can grow cold. We can be stubborn. We can be rebellious. We can stop listening to God. We can be drawn away, almost like we're in a trance, and there's just something in our life that's become more important. And then all of a sudden, we're worshiping and serving those gods rather than the God of heaven. But he says in verse 16, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Look at verse 20. "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days." Let me give them to you quickly here. How do we choose life? Number one, love the Lord thy God. I'm just giving it to you straight as it was written there. How do I? All right, Pastor, I don't want to go down this path over here. All right, then never get to a place where you're not listening for the still small voice of God anymore. Pastor, I don't want to go down this path over here of trouble in my life and misery. Then don't let your job become your God. Well, Pastor, I don't want to get to this place. Well, I gave you the warnings a moment ago. Well, how do I get on this path to the blessings of God, the hand of God on my life? Number one, love the Lord thy God. Now, wait a minute. Here it is. We're in a social media day and age. Pastor, I shared the meme last week that said I was not ashamed to say I love Jesus. Well, I'm glad you did that. It was a good testimony. But you know what the Bible says? If you love me, keep my commandments. We have a religious world today that doesn't know the God of the Bible. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord said, "Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, you love me. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. But Peter wasn't showing it, was he? Because he was backslidden. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Two ways to show God you love him. One is to obey his word. And two is find a place to serve him in and through your local church. He said, love the Lord thy God. Secondly, in that passage there, verse 16, he said, to walk in his ways. To walk in his ways. I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but if you were to go to Galatians chapter number 5 today, you would find that there are ways that we walk and there are ways that God wants us to walk. The ways that we walk are called the ways of the flesh. The way that God wants us to walk is called the fruit of the Spirit. Being full of the Word of God and full of the Spirit of God and doing things that calls us to obey God. And so we have to choose, because there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Can I put this simply put for you as a child of God? You just decide, you know what? I'm going to get in church and I'm going to stay in church. And I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to stay in the Bible. And I'm going to obey God and I'm going to fight the old flesh. And I'm going to, when I sin, I'm going to confess my sin. And I'm going to get it right with God. And if I'm backslidden, I'm going to get right about that today. If I hadn't been listening, I'm going to get my heart right and ask God to give me ears to hear once again. Why? Because I don't want the path of death. I don't want the path of trouble. I don't want the path of misery. And as he said, whatever you choose here is going to be passed down to your kids. You say, I want the path of good and the path of God and the path of blessing. Then let's love God the right way. Let's walk in his ways. The third thing he says is keep his commandments. We live in a world today that has no rules. If we don't like the rule, we can change it. Say that it offends us. But God's word has not changed. I want you to notice another one in verse number 20 there. Just about done. Verse number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest, here's another one he gives us, cleave unto him. Cleave unto him. Listen to what the Bible tells us. In Acts chapter 11, in verse number 20, tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Right. To cleave, don't miss this, to cleave is to unite. Yes. To cleave is to be united closely in interest or affection. To adhere with strong attachment. So how do I keep myself and my family on the right path? Hey, I had to love my God. I had to obey him and serve him. I need to walk in his ways. I need to keep his commandment. And I need to cleave unto him. I've got to give you the last one in order to make the cleave unto him make sense. And that is this. We must leave in order to cleave. We must leave in order to cleave. The law first mentioned in Genesis chapter number 3. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Where is that in the New Testament? Paul said this in Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He said, you know what? I'm done with the world. It has nothing to offer me. It has nothing to offer my family. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to cling to his word. What path are you choosing? What path are you choosing this morning? Brother Trent was telling me the other day, he and his wife spent a few days at Tyler State Park, and he had gone for a walk on the trail. He said, preacher, I got on that trail. He said, I walked a little ways. He said, there was a snake on that trail. And he said, not only that, and me, man, I'd scream like a girl if I walked up on a snake. I don't care if it's a green grass snake, man. And he said, not only that, he said, but I started backing up. And he said, the snake started coming towards me. I would do more than just scream like a girl on that one. Let me ask you a question. Are you choosing the path that the devil's on? You choosing the path that the old serpent's on? Well, I'm going to do my own thing and my way. It's my life and it's my marriage and they're my kids. That is the path of death, the path of evil, the path of cursing. But God has a right path for you. If you love God and be obedient to Him and be faithful to Him and serve Him and cleave unto Him and turn your back on the world, He says, I want to give you abundant life and good and blessings. He says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are not 100% certain that if you died right now that you go to heaven, I want to encourage you today, choose life, choose eternal life, first of all, by being saved. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done, where I've been. Doesn't matter. It's none of my business. But the God of heaven who knows what you've done and knows where you've been died for your sins on the cross of Calvary just like He died for mine. Young people, you must be born again. Adults in here, you must be born again. Many in here are saved. You know Christ is your Savior. You have the same type of testimony I have. Somewhere, someplace, sometime, you realize you were lost and needed to be saved. It may have been at church. It may have been at a revival meeting. It may have been at a Christian school. It may have been at a grandmother's house. But somewhere, you cried out to the Lord and asked Him to save you. But Christian, there is nothing. There is nothing. You ever been in those construction sites on those highways where they have those concrete barriers? There's some as you go into Little Rock, Arkansas, and I mean it squishes you between the lanes. If you're beside a diesel, you think you're going to get run over. If you ever go down through Waco, that's like the eternal construction site in Texas. They have those concrete barriers. I wish that once we got saved, that God put some concrete barriers. Like bumper cars, because we're rebellious and we're doing this, it just puts us right back on the right path. But God says, Christians, choose. Choose. You want the blessings of God? You want to give your kids a good start in life? You want to have the blessings of God on your grandkids when you're old and gray? Choose life. Choose. That's a choice. It's your responsibility.